Today is a special episode because we have our friend Jason from Zero to Travel podcast on. And if you don't know who he is, he has one of the biggest podcasts in the travel genre.
He's been doing it for 11 years. They just had his podcast anniversary. What's the word you do? Anyway,
it's his birthday. It's the birthday for a podcast.
So congrats to Jason. But Jason is a very experienced location independent lifestyle guy. He's not necessarily location independent now, but he is provides so much information and so many inspiring stories through his podcast and his website and his email, all about, you know, it's all related to travel in some aspects. Sometimes it's, you know, starting a business where you can run it on the road or just taking that first step of travel. So this is our conversation with Jason. He's very much ahead of the curve. He was way ahead of us doing the whole like digital nomad lifestyle before that was even a term.
And he gets to interview some really cool people. I mean, he had Rick Steves on his podcast.
I don't know about you, but Rick Steves is like one of the first travel influencers I ever knew. If you don't know who Rick Steves is, like your parents might know who Rick Steves is. He's like, oh, gee.
We should get Rick Steves on this podcast.
That would be a dream. I think I would fangirl. But right. Today's episode is so full of good advice and really leans into a lot of business and just taking that first step. So without further ado, this is our conversation with Jason from Zero to Travel.
You do this every
time, I know. I was hoping to get past it.
You do this every time. We're going to get into the episode, but please leave a podcast review on iTunes. It would mean the world to me. And maybe in the next episode, I'll read one of your reviews.
That seems conceited. We'll just get to this episode. This is our conversation with Jason.
Man, let's just jump right into it. Thanks for being here, man.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure. Congrats to you guys. You got a lot of cool stuff going on in this podcast here. And podcasting's not easy. So kudos. You got the YouTube thing, the whole thing's going.
You know,
maybe we'll learn one day just to focus on a couple things, but we like a little bit of everything. Yeah. So for now, we're just going to keep going. So Jason, for people who don't know you, could you give us a brief overview of who you are, what you do, where you're at? There's a lot to you. So just give us what you can.
I'm a Sagittarius. I like long walks on the beach. I don't know. Gosh, where do you start? I don't know. I'm just a human trying to make it in this world. I spent a lot of time traveling, which is why I host my podcast Zero to Travel. We had our podiversary the other day, so it was the 11th year of the podcast, which is
really,
yes,
congratulations.
11 years of podcasting. Like, you can see I've been inside recording for days, so you're probably looking at, like, if everybody's seeing this on video, if I have like Jack Nicholson kind of shining vibes, just know that that's what's been going on. And plus, it's at this time of year in Norway, there's like no sun. But I spent a long time traveling, and I was nomadic for 10 years before there was the term digital nomad and all that stuff. This was a while ago. But after having done all that traveling, I would always get really excited when people would ask me how I did it. And so I thought, well, wouldn't it be really cool to create a resource where I could, like, people could find everything that I wish I knew when I started traveling after like thousands of conversations with travelers on the ground. I knew there were all these ways you could travel, but I didn't know how to find them. And then I thought other people might have the same problem. So that's where the Zero to Travel podcast started. And that's where the whole community started and everything like that. Just the intention of kind of like getting people good information to help them travel the world on their terms. And, you know, as you guys know, when you start something, it, you know, all sorts of paths open up and different things happen. So there was many things happening along the entrepreneurial journey as well. But that's the short version. I'm an expat. I live in Norway now. Well, I shouldn't say expat. I guess I'm an immigrant. Expat immigrant thing. That's always a weird, I don't know. They're really, yeah, I'm an immigrant, but I'm a citizen now. So I live here in Norway.
Okay. That's a whole conversation in and of itself. Mm-hmm. Okay. You're kind of like us where you take on a lot, but it's kind of just grown as the podcast has grown. And, you know, your website's like its own other, it's like its whole resource. You have the Facebook community, you have everything, but let's go back real fast to how did you end up in Norway? And I asked that before we dive into like everything that you do.
Where are you from in the States?
Yeah.
Yeah. I grew up outside of Philadelphia. So it was like a typical suburban kind of upbringing. But I was living in Colorado, Boulder, Colorado before I moved here. So that was home. And that's Philly is where I have some family there, but I consider Colorado my home in the States, I guess, even though I don't have a home there anymore. And but my home where I live is Oslo, Norway. Yeah. So, you know, it's the typical story, Sarah. I mean, you travel to Brazil, you meet a Norwegian girl in a hostel, blah, blah, blah. Oh, you reconnect 4 years later and then you end up marrying her and you have two kids with her and you move to Norway. It's the typical thing.
Oh my God.
You know, it's just how it goes.
It's the age old story.
You know,
so normal.
You've heard it a million times.
Right. So she's Norwegian. That's how you end up in Norway. That is so cool.
Yeah. You know, I always say it's like hostel love gone too far. Like everybody's had the hostel hookups, but like they don't usually lead to like a family, or I guess sometimes they do in some cases. So there you go.
I love that. I love the stories of the people who met in unconventional ways. I mean, that's just like, that's a full travel family story right there. I love it. So, okay. I know so much of the content you do is based on, you know, helping people get started on traveling, you know, what that looks like of quitting your job, working remotely, the whole digital nomad lifestyle. I mean, you were way ahead of us even. We've been doing it for 7 years and you're like way beyond us. I thought we were early, but I do have a question. So much of it's like budget friendly. How expensive is Norway? I know that Norway is really expensive. And you said that you were from Norway. I was like, oh gosh, that can't be too affordable. Is that okay to ask?
I actually don't really focus on budget friendly advice necessarily. I try to cover everything, you know, and I think that one thing that I've noticed is travel, like people that love travel tend to love it for pretty much their whole lives. It's, you know, other things you could see like, oh, I got really into knitting and that was my knitting phase for like 3 years or whatever, you know, or like insert whatever hobby. And some of those last a lifetime and some of those drop off. But I feel like travelers stick with travel. Like even if they might not, like I'm not nomadic anymore because I have a family and I don't want to be. I know how to do it because I've interviewed enough nomad families, but I don't really have the desire to like homeschool my kids and, you know, while we're traveling and all that kind of stuff. It's just kind of a know thyself thing. But anyway, my point is, you know, because you love travel for pretty much your whole life and you're doing it in some capacity, how you do it will change over time. And so that's why I don't necessarily cater to one style of travel, because I think there's, you know, even for me, I mean, I can take a look at recent trips over the last couple of years and like some of them might be, you know, I even went to an all-inclusive resort some years back with my daughter. Like that was, you know, and then, you know, but then I've done like, you know, staying a hostel in London or, you know, it's like a combination of, you know, staying in Airbnb for a month, you know, here or there, you know, it's like a combination of all these things depending on what's going on and what you're doing. And so I think, you know, the budget maybe let's say the roots are independent travel. That can mean a lot of budgets, but the root of it is, you know, exploring, kind of like really trying to connect with a culture and a place, figuring out ways that you can have the right mindset to do that, exploring all those topics. But I feel like the stuff that I do is, I mean, you guys know, it's about way more than travel, right? Like when you're talking about incorporating something into your life that you love, there's challenges like jobs and bills to pay and all that kind of stuff. So you need to, you know, you take a holistic look at it and then figure out, you know, how you can change your life to add more of what you love, essentially. In this case, it's travel, but the conversations at the Zero to Travel podcast on my show and like the newsletter and all that stuff is about much more than that. I feel like it's just about really about life and all the stuff that comes with that. So
that's well said. I love that you acknowledge that it's okay to grow with it. Cause we know some people, including us, like we feel the pressure of like, oh, we start out on a budget, but budgets grow as you grow and different seasons of life, but that doesn't have to look any one way. So I love that you admit like you could do everything. Like that's such a great, great point.
So you've been doing the podcast for 11 years now.
Which, congratulations.
Which is amazing. Like
that's amazing.
I feel like most people can't even get, you know, forget about a podcast. They can't do something consistent for a year or a month. But I mean,
we hit our 20th episode. We're like, yes, top 1%. Yeah. We did it.
At what point in your podcast journey, like when you're talking to all these different travelers, some have really big platforms, some are, you know, nobody's ever heard of. But at what point were you like, this is a thing, this is a success, or I'm going to keep doing this? Was it year one, year two? Was it year 11? Like, I mean, at what point was this your thing?
Interesting question, because that can be interpreted in a lot of ways. I think it was my thing right from the beginning. I mean, I had wanted to start a podcast for a long time. It was my thing because I was interested in podcasts and audiobooks and audio in general as a listener. I saw the value in, you know, I'd listen to like the Tony Robbins tapes or whatever, you know, like I always enjoyed audio and consuming through audio. And I like writing in the same way I like certain vegetables. They're good for me, but they're not always easy to take down, I guess. So, you know, but for me, I love talking to people and getting to know people and having conversations. And the conversations that you hear are really the conversations I'd be having if I was recording or not. I mean, of course, I try to add like an entertainment value because it's a show. So you want people to listen. But to answer your question, I feel like right at the beginning, you know, you have the mediums. Like if somebody's listening and they're like, I want to, you know, create, and you have mediums you can choose. You can choose video, audio, writing, whatever combination. But if I had like my one thing I wanted to focus on, it was always going to be audio. And then when I started doing it, I just loved doing it. And I didn't have any sponsors or anything when I started. I didn't even know what I was going to do with it. But I treated it like my job because I think it's a good approach. Like I always ask myself the question, and maybe this is helpful for people listening. If you're feeling stuck and you're like working through something and you're trying to do a project, but you're trying to do it at a certain level, you can ask yourself, well, what would a professional do here? You know, and you can't always do what a professional would do. Like I couldn't hire like a producer and all that stuff, but I could hire an editor and make the show really high quality as I could, knowing my limitations and my skill set. And yes, that's an investment, but you know, you have to make these choices along the way. So I was always sort of all in on it in a way, just because I had a love for it. I had a love for the medium, and I also have a love for the craft of interviewing. Like I love when you can try to pursue a craft that you can study and try to get better at. And, you know, and I loved the conversations I was having, because even if like five people heard them, luckily I came out and like people were listening right away, 'cause there weren't any shows like mine. So that was really cool. But, I was getting so much value out of the conversations and the people that I was connecting with, that it was such an education for me that, you know, that it's from a selfish standpoint, it's just been, I would say like, you know, getting married, having kids, traveling, and starting a podcast have been like the most impactful things I've done with my life.
Wow. Yeah. Did you have any background in any sort of like editing or producing any sort of content? Was that at all your background before you started this whole nomadic, you know, independent lifestyle?
You know, it's kind of funny because I realized later, inadvertently, I was using my degree. I mean, not really.
Oh,
but you know, most people don't use their degree. But I did study communications in college.
Okay.
And I interned at a radio station, but I never did any like on air stuff. I was just the guy like driving the van and like putting the generator in and out of it, and you know, hanging up signs and you know, spinning the prize wheel or whatever. But I did some like TV film type of projects and stuff, but they were all pretty crappy. It was never at any you know, super high quality level, but I was always interested in creating. So the idea of having like your own radio show kind of thing and getting to connect with cool people and like share that, and then those people listening to getting value from it, it was all just really exciting to me, and it still is even 11 years later. I know, it's crazy.
That's
like, look, we wouldn't even be talking today if I didn't have this podcast.
I know.
It's so cool.
That's so cool. And not many people use their degrees. I mean, I was actually communications too, and I'm amazed every day. I'm like, I'm actually using it a little bit. Nobody does. Yeah, it paid off. You've got a great show.
My degree is in leadership, and I still don't know what that means. So it was kind of ambiguous. But
I mean, it all leads somewhere, right?
Yeah.
It does. You'll use it somehow. All right. So our show is, you know, largely based on travel, and that can look like a lot of different things. But, you know, you did travel prior to setting up home base in Norway, which sounds incredible in and of itself. How many countries have you been to? Do you have an idea? Like, or do you even keep track at all? Like, what did your travel lifestyle look like? Did you travel fast or slow? Or how was that for you?
Yeah. I never actually counted. I should. I think it's about 50 probably. Something like that. I have a patch collection. I could count my patches. Oh, that's cool. In an envelope somewhere.
I like that.
No, I never really got fixated on the, I, of course I would like to explore new places and see a new culture and try to hit off some new places, but I never, like I spent 3.5 months in Argentina and Chile at one point. And, you know, I know people do like a lot of South America in that time, but I was really content just to have a summer in Patagonia and bounce back and forth between those two countries. And I've done it all. I've done all the fast traveling, like the European solo backpacking trip was the thing that kicked it all for me in terms of really like blowing my mind wide open in terms of what was possible as a travel as a lifestyle, I should say. You know, if you've backpacked before like that, you always remember the first time you encounter an Australian and you're like, I'm traveling for 6 weeks. And they're like, I'm on 3 years, mate. You know, and you're just like, 3 years? You know, like that wasn't normal. Like I didn't, you know, we have all these blogs and podcasts and stuff now. Like at the time, this was 1998. Sorry to date myself. I didn't know that people did that. Like what?
Right.
Yeah. You can just travel. Like this is so, why would I stop traveling if that's a thing I could do? Like this is insane. Like why would I? Yeah. So then I found these travel jobs that allowed me to travel and get paid. And then they were contract jobs. So then I would travel with those. And then in between I would fly overseas and do independent travel with the money I saved and stuff like that. And so that was the cycle for about a decade when I was nomadic. And then, and then eventually I was like, all right, I should probably try living somewhere, which was funny because my friends, like my best friend lived in Boulder, Colorado, and they hadn't done, him and his wife hadn't done much traveling. And so I was, after 10 years of being a nomad, we're like, hey, you guys want to go traveling? And go. They were going to Central America for the first time for like 6 weeks to go backpacking for the first time. So my girlfriend and I at the time just rented their place. And so it was kind of funny because we were flip-flopping. And then they ended up being nomadic for like 10 years.
No. Oh, wow. Like, really, they got the bug too.
Yeah.
Anyway, so cool.
So that's how it went down.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So did you take a gap year or anything like that? Because I think people are always curious. We have a lot of people in our audience who are sort of like us, where we're their 30s or maybe older. We have a lot of retirees too. And they're just now getting that chance to travel. But some people feel like it's too late. What would you say to them, I guess? It sounds like maybe you started traveling pretty early, but what would you say to people who want to take that step now? It's not too late, or is it too late, or what are your thoughts on that?
It's not too late. It's never too late. No, I'm not like doing a shameless plug here, but I will mention I have a series on the show called Transition to Travel where I interview somebody right when they're like in the process of quitting their job or like kind of preparing to take like a gap year or some time off and totally transition. And then they travel the world for like a year or whatever. And then I interview them like a year later. So these shows take a long time to put together. But when they're mushed all into one show, if you want some inspiration, if you go to zerototravel.com and search Transition to Travel, you can find some of those shows or you can just look in the feed. And then you can hear how impactful travel, if you just need that extra boost of like, all right, I just need to be reminded that like, I know this is scary, but this is important for me. I feel like if somebody's listening and they have that feeling in their soul where they're like, this is just something I have to do. Like, it might sound crazy. Like people might tell me I'm throwing away my career and all this stuff, but I just feel like I have to do it. You have to listen to your intuition, you know? And I know there's all the practical stuff, but you can figure it out. It is figure outable. And so those shows can be inspiring. And I think that it's really important to remember that it's always easy to see what's in front of you and what you're giving up, because you can really calculate that. You can be like, well, if I leave my job, look, like I'm not going to get this $5,000 next month because that's my paycheck that's what I earn every month after taxes. And I'm not going to get this. I'm going to lose. And you can like really pinpoint the things you're going to lose. Like, I'm not going to be able to go to my local gym. Like, those are obvious, but you can't see what you're going to gain. And you have to kind of remember, even though that's invisible, you have to keep in mind that there are things that you're going to gain from this that, I mean, you could quantify some of those, right? You could be like life skills or, you know, self-exploration, like, but there are things that it can be a bit intangible or hard to kind of grab onto, right? Until you go through the experience, but you can always think back to an experience you had that you were scared to go into. And when you came out the other side, how much better you were off for it. You can always lean on your past self and some of the things you've been through and kind of look at travel in that same way. You know, it's an investment in your future. But I mean, all right, the cliche, like life is short. It's such a cliche, right? But isn't it?
Yeah,
it's true.
Like there is never the perfect time to go do something. So, I do find a lot of power in just committing to it. If it's something you want to do, you know, you commit and then you make a plan to the best of your ability to execute.
What is it about you sharing about travel? Like, it seems from the outside, it seems like you like talking to people or like showing topics about like getting people interested in traveling. So why is that important to you? Why, what was it about traveling for you that like kind of changed your perspective or your life about it?
It was important for me to share because that soul calling feeling I described earlier, I guess, you know, that idea that there's somebody out there, there are people out there that felt like me that wanted to do this thing called travel in some way, shape or form, because they felt that they needed to for their personal evolution or whatever. But it seems like an insurmountable. I mean, when I started, I had $20,000 in debt and I didn't know anybody that traveled like this. You know, I didn't even know it was a whole thing you could do. But when I committed to doing the first trip, it changed the way I did everything. It changed the way I looked for jobs, started looking for jobs that required you to travel. I started everything like the whole lens of my life was going through the travel lens, right? To enable me to travel. And when you make that shift, you can't help but kind of make different decisions and discover different things than you would if you were looking through a different lens, right? So it is important to commit to it. I do believe in the power of travel as a transformative tool. That's not to say that, you know, it's not for everybody. It's not something that everybody wants to do. And my show isn't for everybody. You know, I'm not saying if you don't travel, you're somebody that's not going to be able to find yourself or whatever. Like that's not, right. It's just some people are more content, you know, just being at home or staying in their hometown or, tending to their garden or, you know, everybody's got their own, they're made up. We're all made up differently. But
for sure,
I talked to the people that felt like me perhaps and or feel of course different ways, but you know the common thread I guess would just be they really love travel and they believe in the transformative power of it. Now in this day and age, you know, we are having more conversations about the climate crisis and all the things going on. We have to start looking at travel in a different way. But I mean, I talked to a guy who's been on the show a few times, this guy Alistair Humphreys. He's a like a British adventurer. He's been biking around the world. He's rode across the Atlantic Ocean. He's done all these crazy things, but now he won't fly anywhere. And he just wrote a book called Local, where he got a local map and explored, like he spent a year exploring like within 20 kilometers of his house. And he found all these adventures and incredible. So, you know, travel is a mindset as much as it is. You don't have to travel 4,000 miles to travel in a lot of ways. And this is some of the stuff we talk about, but it's the spirit of, I think, adventure, the willingness to explore unconventional, perhaps unconventional lifestyles, or maybe seen as unconventional by others. You know, it's just opening up to possibilities, perhaps experimentation in your life. Again, this is beyond travel, I think, but travel is the unifying theme, I suppose.
That's we're big believers in that. I mean, if anything came out of 2020 for us is that we didn't have to go far. I mean, like everybody, we sort of got stuck in 2020. We had to go and explore the places that were in our backyard, those little tiny adventures. And if I'm not mistaken, is Humphreys the one with the idea of micro adventures? Is that him?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. His stuff has been really inspirational to us. Just the idea that you don't have to go far to have these incredible adventures, that you just start with where you are. And we've said this so many times, but it seems like this common thread that happens in every episode of our podcast is like the point of entry. Like, what is that point of entry for somebody? And travel, there can be 1,000 different points of entry, but we love the idea that it doesn't have to look like 4,000 miles. Maybe it is for you. Maybe you have traveled a little bit before, but I love that. I love that, you know, mentioning that there can be an adventure or some travel that could be within a 20 mile radius or something.
Yeah. I think the point of entry, that term that you just said, that opens up. If you think about travel as anything could be the point of entry for a lot of things, right? How open are you?
For sure.
You know, you want to learn guitar. that's the point of entry for a whole world of music, but it's also the point of entry for appreciating songs. It's the point of entry for challenging yourself or trying something, I mean, building physical dexterity, you know? I mean, there's so many different things. So, you know, even if you're gearing up for, let's say someone's listening and they're like, okay, well, I only get 2 weeks off a year, but I'm going to like take it all at once and I'm going to use those 2 weeks to go to Vietnam or whatever. I mean, that's the point of entry for a lot of things, right? You're going to learn how to plan a trip and you're going to be in a place you've never been before. And, you know, I mean, it's incredible. I think, you know, I've been on a trip to Asia for like 10 days and I thought, wow, that was like the longest 10 days of my life in a good way. Like you can see a lot and have a lot of travel experiences in 10 days. So this isn't just for people that are nomadic or do this for months at a time. I think anybody can get a lot of value out of trips like this, you know?
Yeah. So when you're traveling now, I mean, like you're talking to all these people, I feel like after you get off the call, you know, maybe sometimes you're like, all right, I'm ready to get a plane ticket or get on a boat and go, you know, just like go somewhere.
Almost every time, but I can't.
Yeah. So, but when you do travel, I mean, you've been exposed to it, like to new cultures, to all the time, but how do you keep it new to yourself? Like, how do you not become, I don't want to say jaded, but used to traveling? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, I have to think back to my nomadic days when I was really ready to be off the road to relate to kind of the burnout. Like it could be, you could say everything has a point of diminishing return. Right. But I can't take out of the equation in that scenario the fact that I was doing these pretty intense jobs along the way, these touring jobs, and they required a lot of hours, maybe sometimes working 80, 100 hours a week and doing music tours at the end. That's a different way of traveling. You're not really seeing anything besides the music venue and sleeping on the tour bus and that sort of thing. So it's a different thing. But to answer your question, like now, I don't have that problem. I guess I don't necessarily consciously adopt always the beginner's mind philosophy, let's call it. In the Zen philosophy, there's the beginner's mind. It's the idea that you can see everything fresh as the first time. And of course, since I've traveled, I know the experience, but it's still exciting, isn't it? Going to a new place or I don't care if it's in my car and 2 hours away. You're meeting different people. It's a new place. It's new scenery. It's exciting. I don't know. And maybe this is why I've been doing a podcast for so long, because I'm just a curious person. And
I was going to say curious. Yeah, that's the key there. You have to stay curious.
I guess I have that childlike thing, but anybody can have that, right? Yeah. It's just fun and exciting. And I love when you don't know what's going to happen. And it doesn't really get old to me.
Agreed. I think that's the contagious part or the addicting part of it is that you never know what's going to happen. I thrive in that. Like, I love the unknown. Like, what's going to happen each day when you wake up? And I think travel definitely caters to people like that. It doesn't have to. You can be a little more predictable. But
It helps you remember, you know? I feel like our memory during those seasons of travel or the unknown, it helps you remember those days very clearly. But when we're at home, it's easier for us to, it's easier for 3 weeks to go by and be like, what did we do? You know,
time passes fast. Yeah. I'm sure you remember those 10 days at Vietnam probably better than you do. Maybe this is a big statement to make. You probably remember Vietnam better, those 10 days better than you do like the last 10 days of your life in Norway. For us, like when we're out of our comfort zone and we're always having to be aware of what's happening around us, like we remember those memories really vividly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a different kind of, I hear what you're saying. And it's also at the same time, it's also different. It's fulfilling in a different way.
For sure.
Yeah.
But,
absolutely.
Yeah. Chris, maybe you were fishing for some advice there for anybody listening that is getting the travel burnout you're going to get it. You know, I mean, every nomad that I was nomadic with isn't nomadic anymore. You know, a lot of the people that I was working with and, you know, when I started this in 2013 and partnerships and people that I know that were, you know, writing about travel and doing the nomadic thing and all that, almost all of them live somewhere, you know, it just runs its course after a while. And that doesn't mean that they won't get back out there, but maybe they're just doing it in a different way. And I think it is important to tune into, you know, going back to the gap year thing, and another motivating factor, I think, is you it's always good to do something to know you don't like it too, right? So maybe you won't, you'll hate traveling. Maybe it's not for you. Maybe after like, all right, give it a little time. Like nobody likes when they're feeling jet lagged and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And they get robbed on the first day or whatever, you know, but give it some time. But you know, maybe you come away from that experience like, I don't like it. But then you don't have to, you know, spend the next 5 years wondering what would my life be like if I was a digital nomad? I bet it would be so great, you know, and just have these sort of false beliefs. It's better to try and know, you know, if you feel like it's something you want to try, then go try it and do it. Solo travel, whatever the case is. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? We find out you don't like it and then you don't have to do it anymore, you know?
For sure.
And if you're getting burnt out, I suppose you take some time, right? Like if you're traveling long enough, you have days where you just do laundry or you watch Netflix or you don't have to be like exploring every second of the day and making sure I got to meet a local today. You know, this is, you know, go make some spaghetti and sit in your pajamas all day. I don't know.
No, that helps keep you from burning out. We get it. Yeah. We were like you in a different sense. We did the whole overlanding van life thing for years straight. And then we now have a home base. And so we do that part time. Like, I don't know if it's necessarily triggered by burnout, but we definitely feel like there's a season for everything, and having that option to come back and rest and then go back out there and realizing like there's a thousand different ways to do it. Like there's no shame in not being full time anymore, but it felt like there was some shame at first. We're like, oh, we're not fully nomadic anymore. Time for everything.
Where do you guys live now?
We have a home base in Tennessee, so Chattanooga.
Cool.
Yeah, Chattanooga's home base.
That's where family's at. Yeah.
But and then, so it's funny that you mentioned it earlier that you spent a couple months in Argentina and down in Patagonia because right now, tentatively, I say tentatively because we're waiting for like the shippers to get back to us, but we're planning on taking our truck and putting it on a boat and shipping it to Argentina.
Cool.
And we're, you know, going to start traveling north, like we're going to say, and you know, home, but like we're going to spend we don't know how long we're going to spend down there. But what was it about that part of the world that you stayed there, that you traveled slow and, you know, were very intentional about that?
Yeah, this was, of course you can look at these chairs, but you have to look at them within the context of your life at that point too. Right. Mm-hmm. And I had spent years of summers working on tour, managing some promotional events that traveled around doing the stuff I was talking about before. And so I was ready to have a summer, and my girlfriend and I at the time were like, let's just take a break and have a summer. And so South America was the place. And I had always seen the pictures of, you know, the brilliant blue lakes and the mountains and loving mountain culture and mountain life and outdoors and hiking and all that stuff. It just seemed like the place to go. So went down to Argentina and just did all the outdoor adventures and we wanted, and just did, you know, was just outside in nature and did random whatever, whitewater rafting, hiking, trekking, climbing, all the things. And it was just an absolute blast. We just had an absolutely
everybody keeps
awesome
saying,
summer, you know?
Yeah.
And, so you don't need a lot. I'm Argentina. They have certainly ebbed and flowed in terms of their economy, but now it's pretty affordable again. And it was when I was there, probably around the same. So, you know, you're also eating these incredible dinners and in this beautiful city for $10 and,
wow.
Yeah, it's just a wonderful place. Wonderful people, passionate people, very friendly. They have an Italian accent to their Spanish, which is super charming.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool.
Oh, interesting.
You know, I mean, you know, leaving, dancing until the sun rises. You know, I mean, every experience you want to have.
Right.
It's just an awesome place.
That's what everyone says. We cannot get there fast enough. We are so excited. And we're trying to get to Patagonia while it's still their summer. We will see.
That's the goal.
Plan.
So we'll see. But
how crazy were the winds there? Do you remember? Everybody keeps saying the wind is absolutely crazy in Patagonia.
Yeah, it can be, I suppose. I was I guess we got pretty lucky that I wasn't Yeah, I definitely remember windy days, but it was never okay. Where, I can't put my tent up because it's going to blow, we're going to blow off a cliff type of thing.
Gotcha.
But I wasn't biking through Patagonia, taking buses and that, but I was sleeping outside, not all the time, but there were camping and trekking trips and things like that. And you can do it all pretty independent. And what's really cool too is that when you're out on these treks, at least when I was at the time, the Argentinians are very passionate about getting outdoors too. It's like the Norwegians. So when you go out trekking in Norway or in Argentina or some of these places, you're with locals, they're staying at the huts too. Mm-hmm. And they're the refugios, they call them in Argentina. They're staying at these places. They're camping. You're hanging out at the campfire with them, playing guitar, chatting, sharing the yerba mate. And, you're with local people too. You're not just with tourists at the national park, and you can find that everywhere, I think.
Yeah, that makes it a special experience. Yeah. We're excited. I just heard horror stories of the wind, so I was just curious what your take was on that. A little off topic there.
Yeah. If you could just drop everything right now, buy a plane ticket, like where would you go?
So I would go somewhere warm for sure and escape this Norwegian winter. And, a buddy of mine lives here. His name's Gunnar Garfors. He's been on the pod a bunch of times, and he's the first person to go to every country in the world twice, which is insane.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And we recently did an episode. Why am I stumbling over my words here? I guess haven't been talking enough today. We recently did an episode featuring his 7 up and coming destinations that you should go to before a lot of people get there. Mm-hmm. And he had a bonus one on that. It was the Maldives, even though it's expensive, but he was talking about the other side where you can actually do it as an independent traveler and you don't have to spend thousands of dollars a night to stay on one of these overwater bungalows or whatever. So I would go and check out his recommendations at the Maldives. That's where I would go.
That sounds pretty nice right now.
I'm not going to complain about that.
I mean, we're not in like Norway winter here, but still, I'll take some sunny, warm weather.
Tennessee, it dropped to like 65 and it's slightly chilly. And we're just like getting our parkas out ready to like, winter's coming.
Cold.
Yeah.
I think the best way to wrap this up would be, could you give us just some practical tips? You have so much information out there for people who are just wanting to get this location independent idea lifestyle going. What would be one piece of information you could give them? Just take that first step.
Are you talking about entrepreneurially, like starting a business, or are you talking about traveling full time?
I'd say traveling full time was the direction I was heading.
In what way, though?
Because
there are a lot of
like
ways.
Right.
We can start there, though. That can be our point of entry, as we talked about before.
Let's start at the point of entry. You just run with it, whichever direction you feel passionate about today.
Well, you can, if that's the intention, I want to travel full time, then obviously you have to do a little bit of an assessment on your end and figure out, okay, well, what does that mean? What do I want to do? Does that mean I am, saving money and then I'm going to, travel and use that money and take a year off? Does that mean I'm going to try to start a business so it's a sustainable thing and I'm going to become a digital nomad? Like, what does that really mean? It's always a good idea if you don't have a lot of travel experience to take a tiny bite, take a smaller trip and just try it out and dip your toes in it. I mean, there are a lot of ways to do that now. If you're like, I want to know what this digital nomad lifestyle is all about, there are all these co-living places now, for example. Selena, I know, is a popular one they have around the world. There's all kinds of places in Mexico if you're coming from the US. I mean, you could go and book a trip, and instead of going to a resort or doing something you would normally do, whatever that is for you, you could go to one of these co-living places where a bunch of digital nomads are hanging out, or go to Bali, one of these Chiang Mai in Thailand, or one of these digital nomad hubs. Mm-hmm. And just spend like a couple weeks there and check out the scene, see what it's like, see if you like it. I mean, there are all these places you can go where you can be around that. And there's a lot of value in being around, of course, a community of people that are working towards the same goals. I think a rising tide lifts all boats. So certainly a lot of value in that. But, ultimately, you have to figure out your own individual situation and, of course, the financial piece is hugely important. Right. And it might mean you have to give things up. You might have to rent out your apartment, or some people sell their house. I wouldn't do that necessarily unless you know for sure that that's something you want to commit to. But you know, everybody has their own individual situation. So I think that it all starts with the intention, right? Going back to my own personal story, being $20,000 in college debt, not knowing anybody that had done this before, but just having the intention to travel. I started looking for regular jobs, but I had this intention to go backpacking for 6 weeks in Europe. It was supposed to be with a friend. It ended up being a solo trip, and that worked out great. Mm. And it was going to be, I graduated in December. It was supposed to be that summer. So instead of, I had a couple job offers, but I turned them down because I was like, you know what? I got like a couple thousand dollars from my graduation. Yes, I have all this debt, but I'm going to take this chance. When am I going to, I might not have this chance again. Mm-hmm. I'll just wait tables or something like that. But I did start looking for jobs in the middle that could allow me to travel. And the only reason I did that is because I was committed to the trip. You know, there was another job years later that I turned down in my profession in event marketing that I was working in for a while. And it was a really good job in an office and in St. Louis. And I had a trip to Thailand planned and I wouldn't be able to do that. And I was like, you know, this is like a pretty big point. I can either commit to like this, try this office lifestyle thing, mm-hmm. or I could just go on this trip to Thailand and keep trying to figure things out as I go. And I just still wanted to travel. So if you're choosing travel, And you're committed, you're going to figure everything else out that you need to figure out to make it happen. And one of the best ways to do that is to book a trip, to be honest. Like, you know, like you guys are shipping your truck to Argentina. You're not going to be like, you're not going to change your mind.
Yeah.
You know? Your truck's in Argentina. Yeah. Like there are a lot of ways that you can, if you spend $800 on a plane ticket, you're probably not going to change your mind. You could.
Yeah.
But if you just lock something in, then you are committed and then you start to figure out all the things that need to be done to make it happen. So I think the intention and the commitment is a big part. And I know maybe that's not what people want to hear, but it starts with the mindset and the intention and the commitment. I really believe that you have to prioritize it. You have to prioritize travel and then start making your decisions around it. So maybe that means you don't get the new flat screen TV for Christmas because you're like, well, that's $1,200 I don't need to spend because put it in the travel fund, you know?
Yeah. For sure.
It just changes your decision making once you commit. So commit.
That's good. Yeah. That's great practical advice.
No, I love that. And it can be applied to not just travel, but business and, you know, starting whatever you want. Yeah.
So where can people find you? Could you give us all the information you have? Website, Facebook, podcast, where can people find you and learn more?
Well, we have a weekly newsletter that's free, zerototravel.com/newsletter. So you can sign up for that. And if you do sign up for that, you will get all of the new podcast episodes, you know, musings, random pictures of me dressed like a clown. That was in a recent one. Don't ask me to explain, you know, all kinds of stuff, but you will get, you know, helpful things around the internet that I round up, and that's all free. So it's just zerototravel.com/newsletter. And TO, not the number 2, 02 travel. And of course, wherever you're listening to this podcast, if you search Zero to Travel, you can just follow or subscribe to the show, which is also free. And then just listen to the episodes that you think will be helpful for you. And we would love to welcome you into the listening community there. And I thank you for your time listening to me ramble a little bit today.
Perfect. And we will link everything down below. But Jason, thank you so much. This was great. We really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for the invite. Much appreciated.
Thanks for listening to What No One Tells You with Chris and Sarah. If you have a comment or question that you want answered on the air, be sure to send us a message to hello@chrisandsarah.com, or you can call or text our phone number at 423-825-9572. Thanks for listening.